Welcome back to the Exterminatus Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things competitive in the world of Warhammer 40,000. My name's Eric, and I'm here with my co-host, Ray.
Hello.
Ray's not just... Does he sound smarter tonight? That's because he just graduated from college. Woo!
Yay.
Congratulations. Yeah, many people have come up to me, hey, where's Ray? When I see me out at tournaments, some of you even accused me of creating Ray, that he's actually not a real person, that I'm just using a voice synthesizer. That Ray's real. And for those of you who don't know, yeah, Ray has been not only a full-time student, but also working full-time at a, to be honest, a crappy job. I'm surprised you stuck it out as long as you did. That involves him working a full 8-hour shift every Saturday, which really cramps into your tournament schedule. So then, yeah, you get to spend Sunday and Monday doing homework. Whoopee! So
yep.
It's finally over, and congratulations, buddy.
Thank you.
So yeah, so not only is he a college graduate, he's got a new job in his field already, which I'm jealous. It took me like 4 years after college to get a real job. I was a professional wiffle ball player for at least 2 years before. It was a great job, though. It was awesome. But anyway, so that's the news from the Ray front. I also started a new job. Super excited. So we had a lot going on outside of the hobby. But does that mean we have nothing to report on? Absolutely not. The good folks in Nottingham had a little festival in Coventry and decided to show off a couple things. And it's worth mentioning today. So, Ray, all caught up on all the good stuff they talked about?
Mostly.
All right, let's take a look. So you're a bigger fan of this series than I am. Lots of new stuff for Horus Heresy. I guess we're getting close to the big climax where they actually reach the forces at the Battle at Terra.
Yeah, so they're doing the events involving the Siege of Terra as its own book series, which, if memory serves, is Siege of Terra. The first book is set up for pre-order / sale this weekend. If anybody listens to them on Audible, it is already up for pre-order. I pre-ordered it myself so that I can listen to it while I work my final shift at my old job on Saturday. And I believe they said it was going to be about 12 books. They're pretty sure that they've got it figured out as to how many books it's going to be.
That's insane. 12 books? Really? Wow.
Well, I want you to consider that the main novels for the Horus Heresy hit 54.
Well, I guess so. Okay.
That's not counting any of the novellas or the short stories that did not make it into any of the numbered novels. And it does not include any of the audio dramas, to which there are plenty of those as well.
I do like those audio dramas, I have to say, but I was just shocked it was that many books. Okay, who knew? So, but yeah, some new Horus Heresy models to come out with it. Some pre-heresy Dark Angels. So make your chaos jokes here. And I've never been a big fan of the Horus Heresy aesthetic. I always found it kind of clunky. I think on one episode I said it's like the Iron Man suit that they built in the cave in Afghanistan. These actually look fairly interesting. I actually kind of like these. I don't like the dreadnoughts, but I do like the character models. Those look kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, it helps that the new book is... I don't remember if it's out or if it's about to be out, because I know anybody who went to the last, I think it was LVO actually, were able to pick up a copy.
That I don't know. Yeah, those books are pretty hard to get a hold of. Other new models, looks like there's some Dark Mechanicus upgrade sprues for the Knight Armatures. So your little knights have all kinds of creepy weapons. No idea if these are going to port over into 40K, but at least for they do make some interesting new conversions for your Horus Heresy army. So I thought that was kind of neat. So other things that are coming out, I kind of threw this out on our Facebook page, but of all things, Games Workshop partnered with an action figure company. And you can now get a 7-inch tall Space Marine that's fully posable. And I looked at that and I went, nah. And it's a pretty cool looking Primaris Marine. And the first thing I thought of is, finally, we got a trophy to give out. You know, painted up gold, silver, and bronze, and there you go. Welcome to my tournament.
I was actually kind of excited to see that because I'm one of those people who took the time and kind of created their own little Space Marine chapter in their head. I mean, I don't really play Loyalist Space Marines, but that never stopped me, especially because on at least one attempt, I've tried to become a Black Library author. So seeing that, first thing that came to mind is, oh, I can pick that up and, you know, paint it up as the chapter that I created in my mind. And that'd be kind of a neat little thing to have, you know, sitting on my desk.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. And then especially when it's that large, you can really expand on the detail. I mean, just, you know, the shoulder pad's going to be huge. I mean, so you can just really add a lot of additional detail and just make it a great painting project. It's really excited to see what comes out of that. Another thing that I just showed off, I remember seeing a couple of links to this. I didn't know if this was fan or officially licensed or what it was. And I never found it again because it was like a Facebook ad. So like if, once it's gone, it's like, how do I find it again? But apparently it's legit. It's actually licensed, but they got, I'm surprised this took this long. You can actually get clothing that's officially licensed to make it look like you are a fan of Warhammer. And a lot of this is... shirts and leggings and jerseys and sweatpants and whatnot, so make it look like you're actually in power armor of various factions, including some of the bad guys. Matter of fact, I am looking at a pair of leggings. I'm hoping those are for female. I'm not going to wear those, but anyway, they look really cool. They just look like Lilith Hesperex. So they really cool stuff. So glad to see that was just not some random Etsy person with a big advertising budget. I was surprised it took them this long to get into that kind of merching. I thought, you know, that'd be a killer revenue stream for them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so at this point, most of the updates on that particular day were to get onto some of the online games. I was kind of like, okay, I guess that's all we're getting today. No big deal. And kind of hit the snooze button. And then the floodgates opened. So very cool. We heard about a lot of expansions coming out at Adepticon, but it was always that coming soon nonsense. And a lot of them were just like subtle teases. A lot of stuff has now come to full light. So we know exactly what we're getting, which is pretty cool. And of course, one everyone's waiting for is, yes, you too can buy a full scale model of a Shire home for Middle Earth. All you need is a little bit of flocking to do on the roof, and they give you the doorway and the chimp. No, I'm kidding. They do actually come out with that. I didn't know any people still played any of the Lord of the Ring games, but apparently they're still available. So how about that? But more Warcry stuff, which is the Age of Sigmar version of Kill Team, but there's some serious conversion bait there, especially if you play Chaos or Drukhari. I thought that was kind of interesting. The guy wearing a snake around him to attack his opponents with was pretty cool. There's another season coming out of Shards, so if you're into that game, pretty cool. The return of Wood Elves, getting some new characters for Blood Bowl. I'm like, okay, more specialist games. And but if you play Blood Bowl, that's a big deal. Wood Elves are like the ultimate glass cannon for that game. More Necromunda stuff, and I was like, okay, more Adeptus Mechanicus stuff, blah, blah, blah. Give me something good. More Horus Heresy stuff. Ah, it's never going to end. So I just packed it up and said, eh, the heck with it. Took my kid to hockey, popped on the internet just to think maybe something new came out. And lo and behold, a huge, larger improvement, a larger reveal of the new Apocalypse game. And I'm super excited because I originally got into 40K via through Epic, you know, at that time it was called Space Marine. So I'm used to playing with the bigger, you know, the bigger armies, but granted it was a smaller scale. So the idea that you can play what sounds like Epic using your current 40K models is super exciting to me. So they showed off what's in the box and I'm like, that's kind of cool. It's basically a rule book, a whole bunch of counters, a whole bunch of dice, and the command, like a whole bunch of stratagems. And apparently the rules for your army will be available for free on the community website. So that's pretty really cool. So the days of I want to play a 10,000 point army and I have to buy a whole new game, honestly, it's a pretty minimal investment and you can use a lot of, you'd be surprised how many points you got lying around. And I was super stoked. I'm really excited to see this. Matter of fact, Games Workshop is daring you to join them. They want to set a record at Warhammer World this August of having the largest game of Warhammer 40,000 ever. And all they need is to say, okay, bring your army, let us know you're coming, and they're going to try and pull this off. So I'm... I think they've kind of... This is kind of like the time when the Red Hot Chili Peppers need a new guitarist, and they just put an ad in the paper. It's kind of backfired. I think this is one of those times. Great idea. This is not going to work. So anyway, so after that, I was like, okay, I'm super excited. And then I see this little video. I'm like, there it is. So we've been hearing about rumors about this for quite some time. It is finally here. Primaris Marines are getting a new tank.
The best part is it's pretty much the same tank.
It is. It's the... it is. It's the basically the repulsor kit, and it's got a bigger turret on top. But it's called the Repulsor Executioner. And it's a massive frontline battle tank that Marines maneuverability, flexibility, and some of the heaviest firepower in the 41st millennium. Not sure what that means because we haven't seen any stats yet, but we'll see what happens. But you do have two options.
Well, we were given a couple of names.
Yeah, we got some names. And if I can find it here.
The Macro Plasma Incinerator.
Heavy Laser Destroyer.
Or, yeah. So those are the two large weapons that are on there.
Along with a whole bunch of other guns, because they're in the turret. You swap out those two guns, there's a little Gatling cannon right next to it, which I'm hoping is the same thing that those guys from Vigilus have. I'd be curious to see if that has that number of shots as well. And there's a whole bunch of other guns just below the turret as well. So I was like, all right, that's kind of cool. So nice to see some more Primaris love. And then, out of the blue, Adeptus Mechanicus gets a transport. If you haven't seen this thing, you want to turn on Saving Private Ryan. Kind of looks like that. It's the landing crafts, and then if you put a roof on it and a turret, you get a tank. See, it's a two-in-one kit. Looks, I think it's one of those I kind of go, okay, not the best-looking model, but it's something they needed desperately. So,
yeah, it's not bad-looking, although the model itself looks like it might have been a little bit rushed, or maybe they just decided it was an interesting thing to, an interesting homage to, you know, a vehicle that's actually existed.
I'm torn, because to be honest, there's some neat models, like the Adeptus Mechanicus in Horus Heresy. There's a lot of models in that line that never made it to 40K. Some of them look really cool. Like there's some of their Castellan style robots that look a lot more menacing than the Danger Will Robinson thing that they have currently. But then they got these weird, like, Art Deco train transport. So I was like, so I was glad they didn't bring those into 40K. It's its own thing. But so it is a departure from their usual style. But, and I was thinking, do you really want like an Onager Dune Crawler that carries guys? I didn't think that would be a good fit either. So I think, yeah, I think you're kind of painted in a corner. What would this thing look like?
Yeah. And another thing to remember is, at least in the story, civil war happens between the Martian Mechanicum that side with Horus and the part that later becomes the Adeptus Mechanicus occurs. A lot of knowledge actually gets lost because of scrap code, which are like viruses. So things get lost. And I think that's also part of the reason why we, until now, we haven't really seen that level of jet, you know, like jet bikes and hover tanks and things like that for the Space Marines, like we do for Horus Heresy.
I didn't know that. That's pretty cool. Okay. So, yeah, a little more expansion by the points. It's much needed, so glad to see it. And then the next little reveal was also interesting. Kind of came out of left field, was Chaos Knights.
Yes, I love it. In a world where Yunari are updated via Index, the Renegade Knights, which in the past have basically been, what, 4 or 5 pages, are getting their own full-blown codex.
Yeah, interesting way to look at it. Absolutely. So I guess there are, lore-wise, there are traitor house chapters, and are we going to get separate chapters, or are these things aligned to Chaos Legions? I have no idea.
I don't know, but I do know the models that they show up are amazing looking. Yeah. You know, if they're just upgrade kits, that's fine, but at the same time, I'm looking at these, and they can't just be upgrade kits. They have to be their own independent thing. The legs are different. The banner is different. The guns and the blades look different. I mean, too much looks different for it to be a simple upgrade kit to go with the Imperial Knight.
Yeah, one thing I noticed right off the bat was in the front section of the carapace, there's a lot more pipes that are exposed, you know, very typical of the Chaos design. The heads are different. I wasn't too sure of the weapons. I thought they were, the more I look at them, they may be different. It's one thing I can definitely tell you because I own it. It is not a plastic version of the Forge World upgrade kit. It's very different. It's something brand new.
Yeah, I mean, we could make a list of all the things I see different. As someone who has built plenty of Imperial Knights, I mean, I see 4 things that are different without me even zooming in that much. And one of the biggest things is that the gauntlet, the claw thing, actually, you know, it's a claw here, whereas in the Imperial Knights, it just looks like, you know, robotic fingers. They've got this whole double jointed knee that the Imperial Knights do not have.
I see it. Yep.
Faces, I'm just going to call them faces, are elongated.
Yeah, they definitely.
They look like they've got ribs. And, you know, let's not forget all the spikes, you know, various stylized spikes on the trimming.
Yeah, it looks good. So just a quick review here. This is directly from GW's community page. The all knight patterns from the Index Regenerate Knights will be still be usable, only now you'll be able to combine them with stratagems, warlord traits, relics, and of course, knight rampagers and knight despoilers, which is what we're looking at here. New lore, meanwhile, will allow you to explore the shadowy history of Chaos Knights, as much veterans of the Long War as they are Heretic Astartes kin, with thousands of years of history behind them that sheds a new light on the dark powers of Chaos. So I'm wondering if these new kits are the dark mirror of the Castellan kits.
No, I think what we're seeing here are just something that they're giving specifically to Chaos to kind of help separate them that much more.
That's what I'm hoping.
The question is, does that mean that Imperial Knights are going to be coming, you know, getting a couple just for them down the road when they get their next update?
I don't think they need an update anytime soon. Like you mentioned, poor Inari is just like, oh, am I getting a codex? What happened here? So,
yeah. And, you know, I really think that they should have had a codex instead of just a update on how to build them and the rules. You know, they should have just been like, hey, this is all the stuff that they can take in one codex. All cleaned up. Because I honestly, the way that the Inari sound, I would think that by now, even in a story, that we'd start seeing kind of an integration between the Yunari that were Craft World and were Drukhari kind of starting to blend together.
Yeah.
But that's not what GW decided to do.
No, but I have to say, I think they did a nice job of meeting him kind of halfway. I mean, they did dedicate almost 30 pages of that White Dwarf to one faction. And it did not feel like a mini Dex. I mean, I remember the days when I'm walking around with my four pages as I'm playing Necrons pre-Codex. You know, there's quite a bit of meat in there. Now, is there enough? That's still debating on the internet. So we'll see. It definitely got my attention. You know, they're definitely different. And
yeah,
I think my biggest issue is still the storyline really didn't get moved forward. They just kind of got reminded of who they are and what they do. So I was like,
Yeah, I think we'll see something soon. I really do think we'll see something soon there as far as their storyline goes. I mean, the Yunari first appeared, what, 2-3 years ago?
I want to say it was right at the end of 7th.
Yeah, but I can't remember how long ago that was, to be honest, at this point. Maybe 2.5 years ago, roughly, give or take 6 months. And in that time, all from one author, we've seen 2 novels and 2 or 3 short stories, which is pretty good for writing a book. And it really does seem like we've only got one author doing them right now. So, and we just got to keep an eye out. We'll probably, I bet we'll see more soon.
Yep, we'll keep our eyes open for that. So enough chaos talk. You need your faith restored in the Emperor. Well, good news. Games Workshop unleashed a painted Sisters of Battle model. So we've seen this model kicked around in a lot of 3D renderings. So it's that very same model. It looks, I'm not sure if it's a basic battle sister, if it's supposed to be like one of their sergeant units, but on the big fancy base with all the candles and whatnot. But it's pretty cool. It's there. It's real. It exists. I was like, wow. Okay. Interesting. So, Sisters Battle not going away, but boy, they're taking their sweet time coming out.
Yeah. It's a full, a fully redone faction. I think the longer it takes, they said it would come out this year, and I think the longer it takes, the better off the models are going to end up being, and the rules for that matter. They've only really started pushing this after last year's big survey. So they're already probably doing this production faster than they would normally. I think trying to get them to push it where it comes out, before the third quarter, that's asking a little bit much.
So we're going to take a quick break here, and then when we come back, questions about what is contrast? Can you be told what contrast is without being shown? All those questions revealed right after this break.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.
Welcome back after the break. After all the great movie spoofs and the 50 Shades of Grey and The Matrix and Conan, we finally revealed what is contrast. So let's review. 5 weeks ago, the internet was clearly understanding that Games Workshop was coming out with an airbrush. Then there was some crazy person on this podcast that thought they were selling Null Oil by the gallon. I don't know what they were. I'm still sticking to it. That would have been a great deal. But anyway. Instead, and then there was these crazy rumors about it was some crazy voodoo paint. You put it on the model and it self highlights and does it all in between. We're like, no way could that be it. Yeah, guess what? That's what it is. Surprise. So apparently the mystery ingredient that we didn't know about is the base coat. There's a special primer that's involved in all this. It comes in both black and white. And there's a great picture on the community page that really outlines it. So what they did is they took a Primaris Marine and they put two of them actually next to each color of this new contrast paint. The one on, looks like the one on the left was primed white with the new formula, and one was primed black and painted to solid. So you can see they're like, I'd say 10, probably 8 feet away in this picture. They look great. I mean, I'm like, wow, if that's really what it does. And looking at some of the videos, it's pretty amazing. So some people who were there got the chance to play with it in live, real time. And some of the more veteran painters have been able to speak to it. So it isn't that much voodoo after all, actually. It's actually an old technique kind of reformulated.
Yeah, I do just want to interject on one thing. My understanding is the way that contrast works is there are a pair of primer coats to use to help maximize their effectiveness. I remember one is called Wraithbone. I do not remember what the name of the other one is. And while they're not required, they're the best route for getting the color to work the way that, you know, it's intended to. That being said, I have seen a picture of a model where they just use like a lead belcher undercoat instead, and it still worked. But so there's of course there's a picture with on the community site that shows all the colors, which is somewhere around 30 of these contrast colors, and they've got Primaris Marines, two Primaris Marines on each, you know, one on each side of each color, and representing the different of the two, you know, undercoat, you know, or primers, whatever you want to call it. And the pictures are kind of zoomed out, so you can't see the quality quite as much as you do in some of the other images. But yeah, so in a sense it's almost like, and I've seen a buddy do this for his orcs, is he would put down like the, in his case he would use a white primer, the Korax white. He would do that, and then what he would do is he would actually use green wash to basically start by putting in that contrast of color. Yes, I said that word on purpose. And what it would do is it would give a depth without having to put as many coats of paint on. And that's kind of what this new set of colors looks to do. In a sense, it's, I want to say it's somewhere between a glaze and a wash. And that, you know, it'll, a lot of the pigment will gather in the, you know, the nooks and crannies, and the glaze part will help accentuate the edges. I do know that a part of this is when you mix these to help kind of dilute them, you do not want to use water. They've got a mixing medium to help kind of dilute it a little bit so it's not quite so heavy. And the idea of these paints is not the two thin coats method. It's you put a decent amount on your paintbrush so that you get one uniform coat. And I watched a video of someone who got to, you know, play with it a little bit. And he used a black one, kind of a Nurgle green looking color one. And this was on a Poxwalker. And just one coat over the, I think he said it was Wraithbone that he used for the under, you know, the primer. and the black with just one coat turned out, it didn't turn out like a black, but it turned out with what you would want, like a very dark gray to look, which for some people, that's what they would use instead of a black, so it doesn't look so cartoony. He did that on half the pants, and then he actually applied a second coat on the other half of the pants, and it turned out very black, about what you would expect with a normal black paint. And then he used the Nurgle green color for the skin on this Poxwalker. And he did that uniform one coat, and it looked really nice. And these don't take forever to dry, like the washes will. You know, the wash will take 45 minutes to an hour at least to dry. The guy said that it took about 3 to 5 minutes for it to dry.
I think I got it, but just in case, tell me the whole thing again. I wasn't listening.
So a couple things. Yeah, absolutely. Clearly, he had a lot more experience, and I'm glad you got a chance to do some of that research. Talk to some other painters. They think the technique that they had used in the past was they would paint the models the old-fashioned way, like Games Workshop would. And when they got to the wash stage, they would actually apply a gloss coat. You know, so they, just like we have dull coat, there's also a glossy one. And for the very reason, for some reason, the gloss allows the regular washes to flow better. So the theory is that these new primers from Contrast are nothing more than primer with a gloss medium built in. So that's what allows it to work really well. Now, the one question I was really wondering is, okay, they're showing with black, with it with white. Could you use both on the same model and do like a Zenithal sketchbook style? Or I think it's still double priming, or, you know, the idea is that you prime it black and then you prime it white just from above the model so to catch highlights. And then you apply the color, and then the white areas would just seriously pop with color, and the black areas are already black, so they'd be super dark, so give you even more contrast.
So the guy I watched, he did say that you could do the Zenithal highlighting.
I'm glad to hear that, because that, I think, would make your models just insane. I'm actually shocked to hear that it dried that fast. I mean, we're used to it being out here in Arizona with you know, our humidity hovering right around 4% on a regular basis. Stuff, you know, drying ridiculously fast. But even washes still take, I don't know, take about a half hour sometimes to wash fully dry. To hear that this contrast paint, especially when you're applying it on thick, dries that quickly, it's a bit of a shock. That's kind of refreshing.
It makes me wonder if there's a bit of an alcohol base to it, because alcohol can evaporate that quickly.
Possible. I mean, I can't wait to try this stuff. I'm hoping it's, you know, they said a lot of the pictures are from a distance. They do have a couple of videos of them applying it, and it does look good. I just hope it's not glaring. You know, it's, you look at it like, oh yeah, he used the contrast paint rather than the regular paint, because
I think people will be able to tell to some extent that yes, you used the contrast paint, because these aren't the same colors you see, but with, you know, different looks, or I don't want to say different looks, just a different style. These are, you know, their own things. I can't find it right now, go figure, but they listed, you know, colors. Oh, there we go. They listed some of the colors that were used for the contrast, you know. So there's like a, there's an ultramarines blue. There's a Blood Angels one. There's a Flesh Terror one. So, you know, if you want to do Flesh Terrors and you want to do contrast, right, it looks like they've got their own. I mean, they've even got a dark Black Templar one, which is probably, you know, something you'd want to use if you're, you know, doing Black Templars. And then this is the one I'm really curious about, is they've got an Apothecary white. And I think everybody who's played this game and has colored, you know, or, you know, painted anything that they wanted to color white understands white is basically impossible. Your best bet is to go with a very light color gray and to put colors on there that just make that gray look more white. So I'm really curious to see how this new contrast white is going to turn out. Will it turn out so white that you don't recognize the fact that it's not? Will it actually be right white? I really want to know. That might just be the first one I pick up just to test it
out. No, I'd agree. White is a pain in the neck, and it could be, if this is a quick fix white, good to go. The way you described the gentleman using the black is very interesting because lots of models have primarily a black armor, and then you just go in and add details. That is huge if you can get, because highlighting black is a little harder than it looks. So I was pretty excited to hear that. It saves some time. Honestly, I'm looking at the army right off the bat that I have in my possession that I would use this on just for experience. My demons. I've got 60 odd bloodletters that are still primered black. Bring on the contrast paint. We're going to make these guys pop, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And if, you know, watching the video, there's clips where you're actually watching him put the paint on, and I will grab that link and I will post it on our YouTube I'll put it on the YouTube when we put the episode up, and then I'll put it on our Facebook page so that anybody who wants to kind of get a glimpse can, you know, see what we saw. But there's more and more videos being posted, which makes me hope that we'll be seeing these colors very soon. And it might just be what a lot of people are hoping for when it comes to, you know, it's going to be something that helps get that painting done that much easier without, you know, having to worry about, well, how well can I use an airbrush? Because I know that's intimidating for a lot of people, or, you know, whether it's, you know, the just doing it or buying all the stuff to do it. This might be the answer to, you know, using a paintbrush and still getting your army painted right quickly without god awful.
Still working on my edge highlighting technique. So this is something that I'm super excited about. And also just time is a big quotient. One thing that's been exciting is, you know, my son's gotten into the hobby. We've been playing Kill Team, but now he's starting to appreciate how much time it takes to build an army. I think he's up to 25 odd models now. And he's like, man, it takes this long and he's helping me with it. And he's starting to appreciate just the building phase of it. And the only thing we've only painted 3 models so far. So he's like, holy cow. So, but even that, I was using the battle ready technique just to get get through the steps. I can't imagine how easy this is going to be with the contrast paints. So. I told them, hey, they got a new line of paints, and I kind of joked, I'm not sure how it's supposed to work, but it's supposed to make it a lot easier. And he was like, okay. And so he's just as curious as I am, but definitely go through from that. I'll be super excited how this works. So let's say you're turning the corner and you think that contrast paints was just what you needed, and you want to show up. Well, this is a competitive 40K podcast. And surprisingly enough, there is 2 competitions coming your way related to painting. So it was announced that the Golden Demon Awards will be at Adepticon 2020. I think that was a brilliant choice for 2 reasons. One, center of the United States, Chicago, so it gives you plenty of time to plan ahead of time to get there. Chicago's a major city with major air routes, so therefore it's easy to get to. And number 2, of the big 4, if you look at like LVO, Nova, Adepticon, and probably BA or one of the other West Coast ones, whatever you want to throw in there is your other 4th big one, WarGamesCon, they're probably the most hobby-centric. So the idea of having Games Workshop there to do the Golden Demon, I think is awesome. So welcome back to Stateside to have Games Workshop actually test that. So some people, maybe, you know, some of you listening to this in our foreign countries, you may be going, oh, well, you're the Golden Demon winner from America. So it's like a little asterisk after your name, like you use steroids in baseball or something. Well, time to throw down the gauntlet, because Gabe's Workshop has not given a lot of details what this is. All they said is they're having a global painting championship called the Ever Chosen. So not sure what exactly the details or the rules or the regulation, but they're saying, we don't care where you live. We're having a painting contest and you're all invited. So be prepared. There's some kid in Malaysia who's getting his Eldrad painted up real good, and he may sweep, surprise all of us. So I'm super excited. I was lucky to get, a fully painted army by next LVO. I'll be super excited for that. The Funko Pops are finally out. So if you're into Funko Pops like my kids are, super excited to see some Warhammer-related merch in that regard. So that is all the news from Warhammer Fest. But some news was late-breaking today. So this is the Tuesday. Usually we record on Mondays, but both our schedules, we had to make a quick change to Tuesday. Bella Lost Souls late in the day, and I'm talking like after. Usually you can kind of tell the pattern with Bowls. They when they put up the picture of the day, that's usually when it's, hey, we're closing shop, thanks for playing. Nope, this rumor popped up well after that. And so basically people are like saying, huh, we pretty much checked off everything off our list that we thought would be coming out right now. The only thing that's missing is the Space Marine, the Primaris fast attack choice. There's no bikers. So there was talk of maybe a skimmer or some sort of jet bike for Primaris Marines, and then people are also saying, okay, you've got rules scattered all over the place between Vigilists and White Dwarf and the Beta Bolter rules in the FAQ and this new Space Marine tank where the rules will be in the box. Any of this ever coming out? Well, not only are they saying is there a new Space Marine Codex on the way, it's going to revamp a lot of the special characters. So basically, if you've got Khalgar Envy and want your favorite Space Marine character to be Primarisized, be prepared. Some of them will be making the jump. Some of them will get new characters like that Iron Hands character. Ray, what'd you think of him, by the way?
I'm going to sit by what we did last week.
Yeah. So interesting, he's a new character. Sorry, guys. He's not the original Iron Hands. I forgot his name already. Primaris. Loyalist Primarch there. So expect to see a lot more Primaris special characters coming out is what the prevailing rumor is at this point. So very interesting. So if we go over our checklist of all the things that were revealed at Adepticon, pretty much everything they said that was going to come out in Adepticon, we've now seen at Warhammer Fest. Except for one key thing. What's happening next in the world of Warhammer 40,000? We know the Vigilist books were highly successful, highly popular from both a financial standpoint, but also a great way to update several armies at once, unless you're one of those armies that didn't make it to Vigilist. So I'm talking about Tau, Necrons, blanking on a couple, Drukhari got shafted. So, if you didn't get those, you're kind of on the outside looking in. They said, hey, don't worry about it. Not every army is going to be in every location. We'll come out with more of these books. Not even a single peep right now about what that new book will be. So curious to see what that will be and what direction, because that also changes the lore a little bit and the background of the game. And not even a single peep. So lots of room to look out for that. And also, of course, we mentioned it earlier, Inari, yeah, they got a big update in White Dwarf, but are we still getting a Codex, or is that it? I would have to think that they would have been getting a Codex without new rules. So with it, we get double packs that could go both Eldari or kind of Eldari generic. They could go both ways, Craft World, Drukhari. It seems to be left wide open. Ray, you still there? Okay. You're unusual. Oh, okay. Yeah, so what I was just saying is, you know, a new... Awesome. All right.
I'm still here. Yeah,
anyway, did your ties to bed. So those are the new workshop. Lots of previews, lots of exciting news. Back, we do our Wells wrap up the ITC top 10 and events coming up in your area. Be right back after the break. All right, welcome back. Only one tournament to really report on, and it is actually a team tournament. We usually skip over those simply because of the nature of team tournaments. It's really hard to match up when you look at individual performances. You never know how one person is doing simply because you don't know what role they played, especially when they're following the ETC format. So, for example, a player might be a put-forward army. The idea is that the other team can then sit there and decide what is the best matchup for them to make sure they beat that opponent. So although that opponent, that guy might go 1-4 on the day, the fact that he was able to score lots of points or keep games close, even after the other team was able to handpick an army for the best matchup, doesn't indicate the great job the person did. That being said, a quick shout out, because Archon Skari has been a frequent guest and a good friend of the show. His team, the ETC Rejects, finished first at the Canhammer Team Tournament this past weekend, winning all but their last round, but the only team to go undefeated in the tournament. And so very exciting to see almost 20 teams in attendance at this particular event. And also, by the way, if you're a TO, in your running team events, you got to check out Best Ghost Pairings. They did a major redo of events and how to do team tournaments. Much easier layout, a lot of extra options. So much better than it used to be. It used to be kind of ghetto in terms of a lot of stuff done behind the scenes, and what you enter into the app was very minimal. Now it gives a lot of extra individual stats as well as players and their individual rosters. Huge improvement. Great job, once again, by the guys at BCP. So, how did that affect the ITC Top 10? Quite a bit, actually, because a lot of the top Canadian players did make an appearance and that was able to push their way into the ITC Top 10. Looks something like this. So, we start off in 10th place with Mark Perry at 832 points. Aaron Along crashes the party at 9th place, one of the few Americans still up on the list. Ray Almunda's hanging on there, dropping down to 8th place now in the Top 10. Daniel Hester's hanging in there at 7th place with 900 points, but 0.2 of a point behind Devin Swan, one of the top Canadian players, was able to leap into the top 10 in 6th place. John Lennon, the Pride of Florida, at 902 points, hangs on the 5th place. Richard Siegler, 911 points for 4th place. Andrew Ford jumps to 913. TJ Lanigan was able to take out a big chunk out of the lead, but still hangs on in second place with 952 points. That means the King of Canada still reigns supreme as Jim Vessel, still your top player in the ITC at 1,092 points. Just as a quick reference, all top 10 players at this point have completed 5 events on their scores. So very exciting news there. Ray, what events do we have coming up next week?
All right, so we've got quite the list showing up, at least as of today, on Best Coast Pairings. We've got the Alberta Classic at, 3225 Avenue Northeast, number 22 in Calgary, Canada. The Steel City Slaughter at 1130 Perry Highway in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The 40K Fun and Fluff Tournament at Dark Sphere Megastore in England. The 4th Annual AK State Champion ITC GT at Tier 1 Cards and Games in Anchorage, Alaska. The Storm of Silence at the Gamers Haven in Spokane Valley, Washington. The Cataclysm Crown Warhammer 40,000 ITC Grand Tournament at Cataclysm Games and Collectibles in McKesney Park, Illinois. The Spring Conflagration 2019 Warhammer 40K GT at Minnesota State Fair Grandstand in St. Paul, Minnesota. The Alamo GT Major 2018 at St. Joseph's Hall in San Antonio, Texas. Warzone Atomic Empire at Atomic Empire in Durham, North Carolina. Caledonian Mayhem 2019 at Element Games in England. And the North China opened in Tiantian in China. Wow, a Chinese event. That sounds kind of cool. But that's our event.
That sounds pretty wild. I'm impressed that you pronounced that correctly. That's pretty awesome. So that's the news for this week. Again, as breaking news happens during the week, we'll post that up on our website as well, excuse me, our Facebook page, as and look for our podcast here to be not only on iTunes, but also Spotify and YouTube. So we also add a little couple pictures here and there to go along with the information we talk about over the airwaves. Leave us a comment. Again, we can't fix it if we don't know it's broken. Also, leave us a review. I haven't seen a lot of reviews of late over on the good old iTunes. Let us know how we're doing. In the interim, I'm your host, Eric.
I'm Raymond.
And thank you for listening to the Exterminatus podcast.